Hi guys!
I'm Melissa.
I'm Lizzie.
And we're sisters through the Savior.
Today we're just going to be talking about the power of the tongue and
the effect that words have on people.
Yeah, but before we get into it, we just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's been giving us really kind comments and support.
Yeah, it really means so much to us. Like, you guys have no idea.
Yeah.
The amount of people who have just told us how just us talking has affected them, like it really just reminds us why we're doing what we're doing and encourages us to keep going.
Yeah, and that's like using the power of the tongue for good.
Mm-hmm.
So we just appreciate it.
Yeah.
How was your week?
My week was good. We actually just got a puppy.
Oh, yeah.
So cute. It was literally godsend because me and my uncle were literally talking about how we wanted to get my Nana a puppy because her dog had recently passed away, and we were gonna go, and it just kept getting pushed back, and then literally this dog came out of nowhere, and now we have our little baby. So how has your week been?
Guys, my weekend, can you hear the dog?
I wonder. Yeah, if you
there's loud barking. We don't know if you can hear it, but that dog is making his presence known, and he's adorable.
Yeah.
But my week was really not the best.
Mm-hmm.
It was my anniversary with my boyfriend, but he like wasn't here because of some military stuff, so that was kind of like sad, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then just everything going on in my life that I'm not gonna get into right now. I was also just like very down, so I'm gonna be quiet this episode, but it was fun. We had a sleepover last night.
Yeah,
that was fun.
I needed that.
Yeah,
because yeah.
And we had churros.
Oh yes, and tacos. Well, I had tacos.
Yeah, I had no tacos. Not my thing personally, but the churros were good.
The churros are actually life-changing, but I've been trying to stay away from sugar. Really? As I'm drinking a coffee right now, that's basically only sugar.
Sorry, I dropped. Yeah,
but yeah,
we so always have our coffees.
Yeah, Cali Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to start off with in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And, okay, so Paul goes on to say, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And just like how you guys are commenting on our posts and like telling us how that affects you guys, like that really affects us in mm-hmm. such a good way. Mm-hmm. And because we were really nervous when starting this podcast, you know, like, oh, well, what are people gonna say?
Yeah.
You know, because someone's always gonna have something to say about you, good or bad. And you know, words really do carry that weight. And mm-hmm. so we were really like nervous about that, but you guys have been so encouraging to us, and it's just been so uplifting and like reassuring that mm-hmm. you know, we're doing something good, because the devil does not want this to happen. And
yeah,
he has made that very clear. We've gone through a lot of things since starting this podcast, and I just want to, it honestly encourages me more though,
yeah,
to keep going, because like you said in the other episode, like a thief won't break into an empty house, and so that just means that if we're being attacked, that we're doing something right and we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. And just like on the contrary, like let's say people weren't being as supportive, or if all we were receiving was negativity, I feel like even though we'd be doing the same thing we are now, and maybe we still would think the same way that we're doing good, people speaking those words over us could really change how we even view it ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because, like, I've always thought it was so interesting that with, like, something like lying, people could be saying something that you know isn't true, but the more times it's spoken, like, the doubt will creep into your mind. And if everyone believes it, even though it didn't happen, it almost holds some type of truth in a way, like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, the consensus is that it happened, and one person's word versus all of those people, at that point, it becomes like almost an accepted truth, even though it's not a true truth. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, because someone's words, even if it may not be true, it's still going to be in the back of your head and you're still going to think about it. And that's why it's so important to choose the words that you speak to someone very carefully, even if you're joking about it. It still can affect them.
Yeah, like disrespect disguised as a joke. Mm-hmm. And I've been like, not victim of that, how would I say it? I've been someone who used to do that, and it took me a really long time to shift my own, like, tongue, like, trying to tame it, even though it's very hard. Like, I'll try now to build people up versus unintentionally tearing people down. Like, you have to be very conscious of it, especially if you've done it for years.
Do you want to talk about some of the experiences where someone has said something to you, or people who have talked about you and said some things that, like, you knew weren't true, but, you know, when people say things to other people and it just, like, spreads and spreads, and it really does have an effect on you, and even though it's not true.
I've definitely experienced a lot of that. I was in a relationship with, I don't even want to speak this over him, but at the time, he had a lot of the tendencies of a pathological liar, and he was, like, doing drugs and just a bunch of stuff, so it was really, like, a negative experience, and he would tell a lot of lies about me that I didn't know was going on, and, like, I kind of knew he was lying to me, but to hear what he was saying about me was kind of what broke me. And I remember there was a point after we broke up, and he had left me right before my birthday. We didn't speak for 2 years after that. But probably 5 months after, he had told this girl that I came up to him at school and I was like, F you. And then I walked away. And I don't know what else he was saying to people, because this was just one instance that he said to a stranger he didn't know. So just to hear all those things about me and to hear that he was telling people I was crazy, even though I know I never went up to him and I know I wasn't being crazy and I know all these things, you have people telling other people, all these things about me. And to a degree, not only did I start to believe it, but I felt like I had to embody it. And a lot of people say, like, oh, he's going to think you're crazy anyway, so slash his tires, things like that. Like, that narrative. And it was really hard for me to stray away from that. And I remember even 2 years later, like, in my last year of high school, I had people still coming up to me and being like, oh, you're his crazy ex-girlfriend. What? Like, I've never done anything crazy. I really haven't. Like,
it's almost like a guilty conscience, though.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's crazy? When he broke up with me, he actually sat next to me and turned to me and was like, you're not going to tell people I lied to you, right? And I was like, no. Yeah, he knew. And so instead of, first of all, I wasn't going to do that until he really did me dirty. But it's not like I was going around, you know, if someone came to me, I'd be like, no. But I think he, instead of owning up to what he did, went and didn't tame his tongue and just kept spreading all these lies about me. And it just stuck with me. And, like,
yeah, it really does affect you, even though we both know that it's not true. But it's, like, to think that, like, other people are going to have this perception of you.
Yeah.
And it really does bother you. And it's kind of, like, it just affects us negatively.
Mm-hmm. It got to me a lot. And just, like, the whole thing of lying, like, I know everyone has their own thing with, like, yeah, there's, like, the tongue. But I feel like there's also layers to it of, like, there's gossiping, there's name calling, there's lying. And for me, the biggest thing has always been lying. Mm-hmm. I've come across so many liars in my life, and, like, the manipulation behind it is so crazy. Even before I knew Jesus, I always thought it was, like, the worst thing you could do, because you change someone's perception of life. Like, you see the world this way, but if I like put a painting in front of your window and I locked you in this room, you would always think that was what outside looked like, even though it's really not. But I'm twisting and warping your perception. And that's, like, the same thing with your tongue. Like, I'm telling you these things, I'm telling people things about you, and even though, yeah, like, outside doesn't look like that, like you're not like that, everyone sees it that way. So mm-hmm. it's this blurred line between like truth and life and fakeness and wow. I don't know, it's yeah. just twisted. Mm-hmm. So anyone out there who's kind of going through that, like, I know how you feel. And honestly, what helped me a lot was praying about it and just hearing Jesus's story of like, he was the most perfect person, but even the Pharisees were out there like warping what he was trying to do, telling lies, mm-hmm. hating him. People hated him.
Yeah.
So me, a sinner who's not living perfect, of course they're gonna hate me too.
Yeah.
And say things about me. So that kind of gave me peace.
That's very true. I love that. That actually makes me feel a lot better, because it's like someone is always gonna have something to say about you, and yeah. but they hated Jesus and he was perfect, so mm-hmm. there's no, like, someone is always just gonna have something good or bad to say about you, so you might as well just tune it out yeah. as best as you can. I know that's really hard,
yeah,
because we all struggle with that, but just to just revert back to Jesus yeah. and know that he died for that and for the people who are talking to you about that.
Mm-hmm. Those and people need grace too. Mm-hmm. And if you just bring it to his feet, that's what's gonna heal you. Like, I have people say things about me now. Like, even just a couple months ago, someone, hold on, I'm trying to think how I want to word this. This guy had made a comment about me in terms of my relationship, and it really hurt my feelings, and to him it was just, like, a little comment he had made to my boyfriend, but I genuinely took it so internal because of my past.
Yes, and I feel like the devil knows that, too, and mm-hmm. he knows how to get you.
Yeah.
He knows
exactly
how to just twist and get something to go in your head.
Mm-hmm. And it totally did. For 2 months, I'm out here doubting myself. I'm so upset. And it was crazy because mm-hmm. I just reached a breakthrough in terms of like trying to be different than I was in my that old relationship, where I had all these negative people surrounding me and my ex-boyfriend and the things they would say about me. I'm like, okay, I, you know, 4 years later, I'm now in a serious relationship again. The people around him, I want it to be different. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way to attack me, to have somebody say something about that and yeah. take me back to 4 years ago mm-hmm. when I'm having people attack me. Mm-hmm. And for a split second, I felt like I was back in 2020. Being yeah. 15 years old again, being lied about and talked about. And I really had to, you know, take a month to be like, okay, Jesus, like, who am I outside mm-hmm. of this? Like, you took me out of this before.
Yeah.
Now I kind of have to put in my own effort with you to take me out of it again.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like since the devil knows that that's, like, one way to get to you, he's going to continue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's a good thing that you're realizing that
mm-hmm.
and you're able to be aware of it and take it to God instead versus mm-hmm. back then,
like, you, internalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
for sure, because the devil studies us. He knows all of our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But when you speak good things, the devil has to listen to that too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's yeah. another.
And just pray for the people that talk bad about you.
Yeah.
That's something I really try to do now. Like, even that guy, at first I really took offense to it, like I said, but then you kind of got to think, if you're saying that about someone,
how are they feeling?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, like, this person had been, like, watching me all day to even know the comment that he had made about me, but he didn't even talk to me. So I'm like, if you're sitting over there and you're 10 years older than me, watching me and saying things about me, you clearly need prayer, because you're less in here mm-hmm. and more out there mm-hmm. focused on, like, negative things about other people, if that makes sense.
Yep. Like, I feel like the words that you speak also show the posture of your heart and the condition that your heart is in. Because if you're speaking negatively, like, how are you really internally feeling?
Yeah.
And but when you're speaking life and you're speaking over people in a positive way, like, it just shows more of your character and who you are versus mm-hmm. when you're speaking really negatively. Yeah. And it just really shows that character in you.
I agree. I feel like when I first got saved, the first thing that I noticed a huge shift in was the way I talked about people. And I remember the guilt I felt for the way I used to say, like, I used to say very careless, hurtful things, and I would cut deep, and it just was nothing to me. So when I think about these people, I, like, resonate with them. And, like, if you're someone who does that, like, I understand you. And that's why I have so much sympathy with it. But I also urge you to try to cleanse that out of you. Because the longer it goes on, the harder it is to get out of it, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, like, especially cursing. Like, I used to curse a lot. Same. And I started to feel very convicted about it because I was, like, it's a curse word. Mm-hmm. So what am I really speaking over my life and other people who are listening to the way I'm talking, you know?
Yeah, and that's the same for me, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. And, like, that's not, like, for someone who's been cursing, like, their entire life, you're not going to stop like that. Like, mm-hmm. It's not going to just happen overnight. No. It's going to take a little bit, but, like, when you realize that and you have those personal convictions and then you work on it, like, over time you are going to change. Like, my brain doesn't even, like, go to curse anymore. Like, it reverts to a different word, and I never thought that's
what happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my Bible, there's, like, notes on the side that I thought really related to this, where it says, when the gospel of Jesus Christ renovates a person's heart, changes in activity should naturally result, because new identity results in new activity. Mm-hmm. So the idea of, you know, your heart's renewed, but does it show on the outside? And I feel like the main way things show on the outside, yes, through actions, but mostly through words.
Yeah.
And I think there's a degree, like, words sometimes are meaningless without actions. But words kind of create actions as well.
Yeah.
Like you said, the thought.
Yeah. Everything starts with a thought. You think something, and what you think is what you say, and what you say is what you do. Mm-hmm. But it all starts with a thought.
Yeah. And there shouldn't be discrepancies in that either. Because sometimes you think, you know, you'll think something and say something, but you do something different. So, like, you're out here preaching the gospel, but then you're actively living against it. So you need to also check with yourself, like, are those three things in line with each other? Am mm-hmm. I leading people astray through my own, like, misunderstandings or misspeakings? Mm-hmm. I think that's a big, important part of it.
Yeah. And also, like, if you're representing Christ and you're doing all these things, how are people gonna think of
Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I wanna add, you should never, ever, ever, ever have a portrayal of Jesus based on an encounter with a person who may be in the church or someone who's hurt you and is using God as,
like, a weapon. Yeah, like a bad weapon.
Yeah. No, because people are always going to disappoint you, they're always going to hurt you, but don't let that make you determine your view on Jesus, because mm-hmm. we're all imperfect, but he was perfect. Yeah. And he is just very loving. He is not any perception of a person.
Yeah. So I used to use that example when I had someone in my life who was, like, not a believer. And I used to tell him, because I feel like Christians in the church get a lot of bad rep.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I used his name. This isn't his name, but I'm going to call him Steve because it's easier. So I was like, can you imagine if people were going around to other people and being like, well, Steve said this, so you're a bad person. And Steve said this, so now you need to, like, leave the building. All these things. But Steve never said that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with Jesus. Like, people that have warped the Bible for negative things, like, even things like slavery, mm-hmm. where people have taken, like, the beautiful word of God, tweaked the Bible to their own evil ways, and then use that against people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can almost understand why there was a pushback against, not necessarily Jesus, but this, like, warped idea of who they made him out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, like, we encourage you guys to, like, not only to listen to us, but to, like, be in the word yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just have your own personal relationship with God. Because, like Alyssa said, we're all humans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we can try our best to portray Christ, but we're never gonna meet where he's at, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We'll never be that good, but we can try. Yeah, and that's all we can do.
Because if you aim up here, you know, at least you'll land here versus if you aim here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's better to shoot high.
I hear a lot of stories, you know, how people get hurt by people in the church and then they're like, they don't want to go back. Or they're like, I didn't have a good experience at this church, so like, I don't want to go back. And it's like, no, like, don't meet church, don't meet religion, meet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you will truly find a shift in your life. And especially reading it and just seeing it for yourself versus just hearing what people say about it.
Because, again, the power of the tongue, like, someone could say something really nasty to you, and yeah, it can change how you see yourself, but like she said, it'll change how you see Jesus too.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have stability in your own faith, your own foundation of mm-hmm. God.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any instances where someone said something to you?
I do. I've had this one person, they told me, I'm not going to name drop, but they had told me that I didn't represent Christ very well. And I had this person say to me, because I had done something and that I'm so all about the Bible, but I did this and this, and they had told me, you know, oh, I used to be you, I used to go to church and do all this, it's just a phase that you're gonna get over, I think it's sweet that you believe in this, but like, you know, and I don't remember exactly when this was, but I still always remember that, and I know that it wasn't them, it was really just the spirit behind them who has been hurt from the church. And so when she had said that, it didn't necessarily hurt my feelings, because I knew, you know, deep down it's not their fault, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really sorry that someone had hurt them from the church, but to tell me that I didn't represent Christ very well, it kind of made me take a look at myself and like, oh, you know. And deep down, it kind of did affect me, because words do carry that weight. And it in a way, it hurt my feelings. At the time, I was like, oh, I don't care. But it did affect me, because I still remember that to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another instance where someone, again, had told me, you know, oh, you act all godly and all this, but you're doing this. And it's just like, I feel like I take it as the enemy speaking through someone to try to get at me because of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But it just means that I am trying, and I am trying to, you know, live according to the word. Like, obviously I'm not perfect, and
mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's definitely an attack, because
you can tell,
you know, yeah, like, you're not gonna come at someone like that if you're happy, yeah, if you're, you know, content with your life, you're gonna do that to try and jab at them, because deep down you're the one who's kind of like going through something. And so having to rethink it that way, but it still does affect you even when you try to say it doesn't, it really does, because words have energy and power to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how God spoke the earth into existence.
Yeah, life and death.
Life and death and the power of the tongue. And that's legit. Like, literally, you have life and death and the power of your tongue. And if God can just speak the world into existence, that just shows you how powerful words really are. So, in Ephesians 4, verse 31, Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And so when people are saying these things to you and saying these hurtful things to you, you got to take a step back, realize there's a spirit that's the one actually saying these words. It's not necessarily them, because we are all formed in the image of God. And so you have to just kind of take a step back and pray for them, because they're obviously going through something, and you can't let their perception of you change how you feel about yourself and who God has said who you are.
Yeah.
And having to revert back to the Bible, you know, and reading really helps, and just to get those thoughts out, fill them with God's word versus what someone else's words are saying about you.
Yeah.
And that's really helped me to think about that, and especially how Jesus forgave the people mocking him and who literally crucified him. He said on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And so if they are saying all those things about Jesus and how he was literally perfect, healing people, being so kind, he was never mean to anyone. It just shows you that no matter what you do, someone's always going to have something to say. And if Jesus can forgive them, you can forgive this person saying this about you.
Mm-hmm. And just approach it the way that Jesus would. Like in the instance where, you know, those two people were making those jabs at you, if they really truly had good intentions in their heart and wanted, let's say you weren't living like according to the Bible, right? If someone wasn't doing that, do you go up to them and do that and poke at them?
Right.
Is that what Jesus would do? Or would he approach them in a kind, gentle manner?
With grace.
Yeah, and ask questions and understand, and then from there, guide.
Mm-hmm.
Not go up and start slapping somebody.
Exactly. Like, and the way Jesus treated Judas, even though he knew he was the one who was going to betray him,
yes,
he still treated him with such kindness that no one ever suspected it was him. And that's truly loving your enemies.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do. That's I didn't even think about that in this context.
Yeah.
No, just like when these people are saying these things about us, and this is like a big brain mature thing to do, and it's so hard, but you genuinely have to treat them the way Jesus treated Judas. Show love and compassion, because you never want to stoop to somebody's level.
Exactly.
And it's so common now, always honestly, just to have retaliation. Like if someone says something to me, I'm gonna say something back.
Right.
And just like we talked about, I think it was the last episode or the second, about me with the ice cream cone lady. And like having to, in my life recently, really take a second to not retaliate, because it's just in my nature to just
rip it's in into your somebody. Flesh,
But you have to like be higher than that and just know like they're coming from a place of hurt, and you don't want to hurt somebody even more.
Exactly. And as Christians, we're the ones called to be different.
Yeah, like you're supposed to stand out. You shouldn't be like everyone else. And the idea of like you'll know them by their fruit, but then you're out there yelling at people, gossiping, speaking negatively with your tongue. So are you standing out, or are you putting all these negative things like onto you, and like you're trying to embody Christ? So why would you? It's one thing to slip up, but to truly put that on yourself, I just don't think it's good for us.
You gotta ask yourself, you know, before you speak, like is this true? Is what I'm going to say necessary? Is it kind? Is this going to hurt someone? And it really makes you take a step back before you speak. And I want to highlight also in Ephesians 4, verse 25, Paul says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Because all he needs is just one little thing to creep in, and boom.
That happens to me all the time. Working on it. But, like, one thing will piss me off, and I just get really angry. I feel like anger's a really easy place to sin. And just not having stability and foundation in that moment. You're kind of just all over the place. And people say a lot of things out of anger. And it's important to learn to take a step back and just become level-minded again.
Do not let someone who's sinning cause you to sin either. Like, if they're coming at you and they're angry, take a step back, realize it's not them speaking, and you come about it in a different way. And if you're calm about it, you know, I think that would honestly make them more mad because
it does.
It, yeah.
They speak themselves. It's crazy. A fool will always run their mouth. And you know what's really crazy? Mm. Oh my gosh. Before my dad died, he wrote me a letter, right? And in the letter, one of the points he had made was that the loudest person in the room is not always the smartest person in the room. And relating that back to James chapter 1. Where James says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And once I had read the letter he wrote me, it had been years, and I had already been running my mouth, but it really caused me to kind of take a step back and realize that I had always been trying to be the loudest person in the room. And once I tried to become someone who listens more than talking, it just allows you to really see people for where they're at, because their heart posture is revealed through what they're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
And it also gives you space to realize where you're at. So I'm in here thinking before I just start saying things. And I feel like whenever I do jump to that point where I'm just talking and yelling at this person and putting down this person, I always look back on it and I'm like, why did I not think before I said that?
Yeah.
It happens every single time.
Because a lot of the times, you know, you regret what you say because you say it out of anger, what you're feeling in that moment. But those words are going to have an effect on someone. So you really have to be careful with what you say. Even you could say, oh, I didn't mean it. But you said it at that moment, so you were feeling that way. But it's like, it really just affects someone. And
yeah. And honestly, even if you say, like, you didn't feel it or you didn't mean it, that's almost worse in a way, because your tongue really needs to be tamed, because you're out here spewing hate that you don't even want to spew. You say you don't feel it, but these words are coming out of your mouth. So who's saying that? What spirit is in you that's talking and hurting people? Because it just takes one little thing.
Yeah.
And James talks about that in chapter 3. I'm going to read from verses 5-6. Where he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And I just think that's really powerful, because what you think is just one little word, one little emblem that's, like, in the forest becomes a whole forest fire.
Yeah.
That's always how it starts. It doesn't start where, like, you snap your fingers and the whole forest is burnt down. It'll start small.
Because it spreads, just like how words can spread from one person to one person to one other. And it's, like, that coincides with gossiping, you know, and it really...
It's so bad. We've been talking about gossip a lot recently. Because I had gotten convicted about it when I was just watching someone do a whole video on it. And I don't know, because I always grew up a gossip. That was, like, my big thing. Anytime I'd see anyone, I remember saying, oh, well, people tell me things. Like, they trust me. And then I'm out here spewing it. I don't even know why. Whether it was because I felt like I didn't have anything interesting to say, or just because it's so accepted in culture. And, you know, when you go up to someone and you're, oh my gosh, did you hear this? And everyone kind of leans in. And I feel like when I'm in group settings now, when I hear that, I literally start praying. I'm like, close my ears. Because it's so hard to not give in to gossip. I feel like
it
that's...
It really is.
Yeah.
And I feel like I kind of struggle with listening to other people talking about others in a way. Like, but I've started feeling really, really convicted about that, because it's like, well, I feel like those words are actually affecting that person, whether they know it or not, because words have energy to them. And if you're talking about a specific person, that's kind of being sent over to them, and it's affecting you as well.
You're speaking it over them, and you're turning yourself into a gossiper. And the Bible mentions that so many times.
Yeah.
Just not a good thing, and it's very normalized. There's tea pages online. There's new hot gossip stories every day, and I don't think it's good. And that time that you're spending gossiping and spreading things about people is time wasted where you could have been praying about them.
Or speaking life over them.
Instead of being like, oh, did you hear Sally did this to Benjamin? That's so horrible. She's this, she's that. You could either go to Sally and be like, hey, maybe that's not the best thing to do. You know, let me show you what Jesus would have done. Or go to your secret place and pray for Sally and pray for Benjamin. Or go to Benjamin and offer him comfort. There's all these different things.
Yeah.
Instead of going now to Jessica and be like, Jessica, did you hear that Benjamin retaliated? And it just keeps
And it keeps spreading going. And spreading like a fire.
Yeah, and it's like telephone as a kid when we'd play. And by the end of it, it sounds different.
Yes. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, wow. It'll start as something innocent. But by the end of it, it's just so twisted
and twisted.
Yeah.
And I feel like that also goes with social media. I feel like there's so much hatred where people are judging others on what someone's wearing or what someone's doing and posting about it and commenting hate. And that person who's seeing that, even though they may act like they don't care, I mean, it's still hurtful. And
it's not the way to go.
Yeah. Like, especially if you're calling yourself a Christian as well. Like, and if you come to them with love and in a loving way, that's different versus saying it in, like, a mean and condemning way, because that's not how Jesus is. And James also says in verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. I want to highlight that. We are all made in God's image, and you're saying something to someone who is also made in God's image. So think about how that makes God feel as well when you're saying these things to someone and you're praising Him on the weekday, and then you're cursing in a different setting on the weekend, you know. And so it says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So you can't have both. So
one foot in the word, one foot in the world.
Love that saying.
You gotta pick. You don't want your life split in two either.
Exactly. And you could, I've heard this analogy where this man is on the fence, and on one side is God and living the righteous world, and on the other side is the devil and the world, the worldly ways. And the man was like, oh, well, I don't want to give up this thing that's of the world, but I'm not choosing that. I'm still with you, God. You know, I'm doing this. And then he stays there, and then boom, it goes dark, and the devil grabs him, and he says, I had you right where I wanted you, on the fence. And so it really kind of, it almost... That used to scare me in a way, because I was like, okay, I got to think about how I'm living. You know, am I still doing worldly things and saying I'm a Christian and, you know, following God? But God says He does not call us to be lukewarm. He calls us to be following Him and changing our ways. I want to highlight in 1 Peter, it's in chapter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And so it's one thing that we talked about in our sin episode where... you know, you're sinning, and then you find out the truth. But then you continue to do that sin. That's different and worse from then when you didn't know that it was wrong and, you know, mm-hmm. like, you were ignorant back then. But now that you know the truth and you're still going to continue to do that, it's kind of, it's a different type of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like with that, too, it's like, if you're on the fence, all it takes is one big, strong gust of wind and you're off of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, at that point, what can you do? Your foundation, mm-hmm. you're not rooted on his side. You're on it. Like, it's not... It's not a good place to be, because you can go from everything to nothing in a second. And, like, as someone who's experienced that, and, like, both of us, you need a foundation that's based on God, because he is the only thing that will not leave you, that will not disappear on you, that will not hurt you in, like, a negative forever type of way. He cares for you. He looks out for you. And you should honor that by using the gift of your tongue to... honor him and be respectful to people the way Christ would. Don't like it says, don't, you know, curse and praise with the same mouth.
But yeah, so it all goes back to really, you know, what you speak and what you say and speak really, you speak that into the world, and you speak, like I said, life or death. So when you're speaking, you want to make sure that it's not death that you're speaking over, or the negative things. And, you know, on your own, you're never going to be able to tame your tongue, because words just spew, you know. But that's why we as people, we need something greater. And that's why, you know, they say be slow to speak, be quick to listen, be slow to anger, because anger causes people to sin. And... so, and also always be quick to say I'm sorry, you know, and just listen to someone, because you could tell a lot about a person by what they say, a lot, and the way that they speak, because they could say one thing and their actions are showing something else. And when they speak, when they're angry, you can really tell a lot about someone.
And
the condition of their heart.
Yeah, what their heart looks like and where they're at.
Yeah. So I feel like a challenge for all of us is, you know, ask God to guide your speech before you're speaking. You know, let him control your words. Think before you speak. Don't react right away, because we do a lot of things out of anger that we regret later on. And so... just to take a second, maybe even count to 10, talk to God, you know, before you react or do anything. And I just want to challenge you guys, you know, this week, just to reflect how you're going to use your words this week. Are you going to speak kindness over someone, or, you know, help someone in need and, you know, be their comforter and listen to someone, versus, you know, maybe reacting from someone who's angry at you and says something hurtful, and something that you maybe would have done in the past, but you react in a different way now. And I just really want to challenge you guys to do something kind for someone and say something kind, maybe comment on someone's post, you know, something positive, because that really, really goes a long way. You never know what someone is going through.
And when you do that, watch someone's face and see how their heart changes. Even if you see someone sad, the way, like, their tears will go away, someone who's happy, you'll make them even happier. Even something like looking in the mirror and speaking truth and love over yourself.
Exactly. I want every single one of you to go into the mirror after this and just tell yourself, I am beautiful, and God made me perfect the way that I am. And point out something that you love about yourself. Don't look at the flaws, because that's what we do. Satan made Eve focus on the one thing that she couldn't have, that they weren't allowed to do. So he's obviously going to make you do that with yourself. But look at yourself and point out something that you actually love about yourself, because God makes no mistakes. He made you exactly in the way he wanted you to be, and the way that you look and your personality. He made you just who you are, because that's who he loves, and he died for that version of you, the worst version of you, and the version of you to come following him. So I just really want to encourage you guys to do that, because it really will make you look at yourself and life differently with how you speak over yourself and how you speak over others.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna pray and read Psalm 23 after. And
yeah. Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this episode and the power of the tongue and just giving us the knowledge and the words to say and the experiences that we've gone through to be able to lead up to this moment. And I just want to pray for everyone that's listening that what someone has said over them, I just pray that the enemy's lies would just be blurted out of their mind and that they would refocus their mind on you and that their thoughts wouldn't be as loud from your thoughts, Lord. And I just want to pray over their heart and their mind that whatever they're going through, that they would just know that you are who created them and that they are perfectly perfect in your eyes. And I just hope that they believe that truly for themselves. And I just want to pray that anyone who has been hurt by someone, that they would have a change of heart and just pray for those who has hurt them and just be able to retract their mind and make every thought obedient to you, Lord. And I just hope that they have a great week and that any lie from the enemy, that they would just be able to listen to your words and your mind, because we're all always going to overthink, and I just pray that your thoughts would be louder than theirs.
God, I would just pray that anyone listening to this who has been hurt by words of others, that they just know that you break all those chains that surround them and the evil words that have been spoken over them, God, and that they don't have to answer to the negativity that other people call out towards them, God. I pray that anyone who's in the bondage of lying, suffering, gossip, negativity, disrespect disguised as a joke, that those chains would also just be broken in Jesus' name, that they would know to come to you instead of embodying those traits, God. Anyone out there who is out there speaking negativity over people from a place of hurt, I would just pray that they could get to the root of their problem, God, and that if they are at rock bottom, that they realize that you are the rock at the bottom and that they can go up from there, God, that they don't have to be someone who speaks negatively, who gossips, who lies, but that all of those horrible things that keep us locked in were broken free on the cross 2,000 years ago, that they don't need to speak ill over themselves, over others, God, that you would just wash them with your grace, your pureness, your love, and that they would just focus on that versus projecting all of their stuff onto other people and internalizing it on themselves. And I really do just deeply pray for anyone who's been or is in any of these situations, God, and that you would just touch their lives and just know that they are here listening to this for a reason, God, that you care about them, we care about them, we understand how they feel, and that there's no condemnation, but just love and conviction and just helpfulness from all sides of you and us. And we just love you so much, and we're thankful for this opportunity to pray over people struggling just like we've once struggled. So just really appreciative for that, and I love you.
Yeah, we say this all in your mighty holy name, Jesus. Amen.
That was beautiful.
You?
Yeah, you took us.
I love when Lizzie prays.
I love when you pray, bro. You started speaking my thoughts when you were like, I hope that their thoughts are quiet enough to hear your voice. And I was like, dang, she got what I wanted to say.
No, but
before we read Psalm 23, I just want to tell a quick story. Yesterday, I was in my boyfriend's car, and we were about to leave, and I saw one of the, you know, the little funeral cards. I keep one of my dad's, because he had Psalm 23 on the back of it. Mm-hmm. And so this one always just comforted me, and I was flipping it over, because my boyfriend does, like, funerals. Like, he, like, will present the flags to people.
Aww.
Yeah. And he had just gotten one of the things from them, and he was like, yeah, I never really get them, but it just made it so personal. And I looked at it, and it had Psalm 23 on the back. Wow. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's just my favorite scripture, and, like, it finds me all the time.
It's the most comforting.
Yeah, it
is.
One
of the most comforting.
And just after the weekend I had, and being upset, and even just stuff with what was going on with him and how it affected me, just finding that in his car, it was just sweet. Yeah. So Just wanted to do that before we get into it. So we're reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It never gets old. That's so comforting. I also want to say, you guys should write little scriptures and like a sticky note or whatever and put it on your mirror.
Yeah, that's what she has right there.
Yeah, I do. I have it all around my mirror.
It's so cute.
And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. And that goes for every one of you.
Yeah,
no matter what you're facing.
Yeah, even taming your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I love that.
Hope you guys have a blessed week.
Yes, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, we love you.
But Jesus loves you more.
Never forget it.
Bye. Bye.